Good evening. My name's Paul Edwards, and I'm in Miami, Florida. Welcome to Tuesday Topics. I'd like to thank Marlena and others for doing recording for us tonight, and I'd like to thank the whole team at ACB Radio for their work editing our programs, turning chaos into a listenable hour in the evenings. Obviously, we'd like to thank Talking Communities and George Fives for making their product available to ACB Radio, and we look forward to actually utilizing the new version of Talking Communities product, which should be coming out any moment. It has some exciting new features, so we're looking forward, George, to getting an opportunity to know about it. And those who have an opportunity, please check Talking Communities out so you get a better idea of some of the new things that are on their way. Tonight on Tuesday Topics, we are going to be talking about a subject that's fairly new to people who are blind, but quite a few of us who are out there have embraced this technology, and that technology is satellite radio. Satellite radio is interesting and is kind of confusing in that it's become available in a variety of places that don't have a lot to do with satellites, in that it's available on computers for immediate download. It's also available as adjuncts to the two competing satellite television networks as music channels. We will be talking about satellite radio just quite a lot, and we'll be talking about the two providers. Essentially, satellite radio is a subscription service that you pay for every month, where there are a variety of receivers. You are receiving directly from satellites, sometimes through repeater stations, and the broadcasts that you receive are interesting in that there is a large number of them that's available for your subscription. For instance, XM Radio has right at 170 channels of information that's available for a monthly fee that now is about $12.95 a month for your first receiver. And I think Sirius is the same. There is a steep reduction in the cost if you actually buy a second receiver for the family. In XM Radio's case, it takes the cost down to $6.95. And again, if you're prepared to pay in advance for your monthly fees, you can get the $12.95 down to a little over $10 for XM Radio. But to talk a little bit about the content of one of the systems, Sirius Radio, which is one of the two participants, XM is the other, I'd like to invite Sue Amater from the great state of Washington to talk a little bit about, first, what prompted her to get Sirius, S-I-R-I-U-S, and second, what kinds of features Sirius has that she likes, and what is there about Sirius that she doesn't like.
Well, thanks, Paul. The primary reason that I got Sirius Radio is that I'm a football and basketball junkie, and I'm already signed up for MLB.com, so I debated and ended up getting the Sirius Radio. The one that I have, it's kind of in a boombox, and you can take the radio portion out and put it in the car if you want, or just keep it in the boombox, which is what I've done. It has 120 channels, and it cost me, I bought the two-year program, I think it was $286. So right now, we get the NL and the hockey playoffs and the basketball playoffs. We get arena football, which I don't care that much about, and we also get some college baseball. And then, of course, there's music channels, old-time radio, and Howard Stern, which I wouldn't listen to unless I was dead, etc. So that's kind of the channels. What it has that I like is there's a little remote, and you can push one of the buttons and then type in the channel that you want. So if you want old-time radio, for example, you type in channel 118. So that's worked pretty well. There's a lot of buttons on the front that I haven't really figured out yet. I've had it for about a month, but primarily I've picked out the channels that I like for sports, for music. You can also go to channel 184, which is the weather channel, which when you buy your Sirius radio, that's the only channel you get until you activate the receiver, and that gives you a listing of what the sports will be that they cover for that particular day and what channel it will be on.
I know Marlena, also from the state of Washington, is an XM radio person. So why don't we have Marlena talk a little, if you would, Marlena, about what XM offers. And I will probably jump in. I must admit to everyone up front that I am an XM radio user, in fact, a multiple XM radio user. And so I will talk about some of the different kinds of receivers that are available and why you might want to choose which sort. But first, let's go to Marlena and have her talk a little bit about XM Radio.
We have three units for XM Radio. Two of them are exactly alike, and so one stays in the car and one stays in Gary's office. And those are Sony units, and they operate with a little remote control that is set up similarly to the dial pad on a phone. It's very, very accessible. The third unit is one that XM no longer carries, and it's my favorite, and it's the one that I use. It's called XM PC. What that is a small, flat USB radio, which hooks into my PC, and it comes with an antenna, which is sitting up on my window ledge, and it runs with a piece of software. Now, the benefit to this for blind folks is that if one knows the command to read one's title bar, one can tell what's on the radio, which is very, very handy. In terms of channels, I don't know the exact number, but I would guess that 170 is very close. I enjoy the talk. It carries CNN on the audio for CNN. It has some BBC audio. It has a wonderful channel that plays drama, and then one right next to that that plays old-time radio. So there's sort of the new-time radio and the old-time radio. It's got your conservatives and your liberal thinkers, so you can kind of go from one to the other and see who's saying what. And my favorite channel on XM is 15, The Village. And that's all folk music, and it's just wonderful. It has several country stations, a bluegrass station, a couple middle-of-the-road stations, a lovely New Age station, a classical, a pops. So there's just something there for just about everyone. It has an interesting channel on 24/7, channel 247, that in the event of an emergency, you dial in 247, and you get updated reports of what's happening in that emergency. It also carries all the Major League Baseball, so you can sit and listen to the home team announcer. We particularly enjoy when in the car, we dial the Seattle channel in, and Gary can determine what roads are trafficked up and whether he needs to take an alternative route, etc. So that's kind of a XM in a nutshell.
Thanks very much, Marlena. After Marlena's description, Sue, would you compare perhaps for us a little bit some of the music channels of Sirius? Did they roughly correspond with what Marlena's described? Are there some other things that are on Sirius that we so far haven't talked about?
I think the music's pretty similar. We have the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s rock, and then there's the classical and Broadway show tunes. There's some country stations, and they also have WSM from Nashville. A lot of weather and traffic, so you pick out the weather and traffic from your city and could go in and listen to that. A lot of news stations, which I'm sure XM also has, CNN, Fox. I think that kind of pretty well covers it. Probably the only thing I don't like about Sirius very much is that their website is kind of hard to navigate, so I've had my husband go in and cut and paste the channel listings for me, but they weren't very Braille friendly, so that was kind of a downside, but I guess that seems to kind of be the way it is. But I'm really tempted to get an XM as well, but it might lead to divorce, so I guess I probably won't.
Gee, I wouldn't want divorce to happen, but I'm not sure that I would be tempted to get Sirius as an approach. In addition to The XM components that we've talked about so far, whenever you sign up for XM Radio now, you are entitled to a username and a password to XM Online, which doesn't contain all the programs, but which does allow you to sign in on a PC wherever you are and tune in to XM either in a low-band or a broadband format, and I would assume that Sirius has a similar kind of thing. This allows you to actually hear many of the music channels and actually some channels online that aren't available on your XM receiver. This particularly applies to some of the channels that have been cycled off XM Radio by the recent changes, as well as a series of channels that were originally made available by AOL. So there are four or five AOL-based channels at the bottom of the dial. Let me talk for a second about a couple of the things that XM Radio has that we haven't so far highlighted. XM Radio has now begun to market pretty seriously in Canada. So while I think that Sirius has a fair number of Latin stations, XM does as well, five or six. XM Radio also has a couple of French music stations that are specifically designed for the Canadian market, and a station called Canada 360, channel 244, which enables you to get Canadian news and sports on a regular basis, which is kind of convenient. XM Radio is marketing the fact that they're going to be doing two other things starting this summer. First, they're going to be launching regional talk networks, actually six of them, to cover the six regions of the country. And second, starting in September, there will be a channel that will feature Oprah Winfrey and others who are kind of associated with the Oprah show and that kind of thing. Marlena, have you listened to the Bob Edwards show, and would you care to comment on that? Because that's certainly one of the things that I've enjoyed, as well as some of the content that is produced for XM Radio that's entirely and completely not available anywhere else in terms of music. And maybe you could talk about some of that if you know about it. Even in our area, which is folk music, there's quite a bit.
Paul, you must be reading my mind. Of course, when Bob Edwards left, to say it politely, left NPR, there was a great hue and cry among many, and certainly I know among many blind people. And lo and behold, he appeared on XM Radio, and oh yes, I love listening to Bob Edwards. You know, it's kind of like the morning is right again. And he's the same fascinating guy that he was on NPR with, but I think his content, and I can't really give you an example of why I think this, but I think his content is a bit more wide-reaching, I guess is what I would say. He seems to be more relaxed, first of all, and maybe less constrained by the constraints of NPR, for all I know. I don't know, but I really sense that in him. And, oh gosh, the music, the original music stuff is just wonderful. There is and I can't remember the channel number right now because I just basically look up the ones that I don't listen to every single day, but there is The Loft, and The Loft is where there's lots of original music with independent artists, and that's really cool. And then on the folk channel, and I'm blanking on the name of the program now, but one of my favorites, Christine Lavin, hosts a show that I believe is weekly, where she just, you know, sits down and yaks and plays some good old folk music, and it's an hour-long show, and it's just great. Tom Paxton is frequently on there, just interviewing people and singing his music. And so in that regard, for me, XM kind of brings me back to my old coffee house days, and I love the original music. I think it's just fabulous. And one last thing I'll say is that as far as I know, and I think I'm right, the Starbucks, if you go into Starbucks, you are listening into the Starbucks stores, you are listening to XM Channel 75. which is kind of cool.
You're quite right. I neglected to mention that on the online XM, you also have the ability to be able to read, not in quite the same way as Marlena does with the simple title bar thing, but you are able to get to a place where you can actually see who the singer and the artist is if you're listening to a particular online channel. XM Radio does an awful lot of live presentations. Last October, I listened to a wonderful music festival from Texas of progressive country bands on Channel 12, which is called Cross Country. And this festival broadcast live for 4 hours on three nights and then 6 hours on the last night of the festival. And they do quite a lot of that. They also produce in Washington, D.C., a number of programs. Bob Edwards is on for an hour every morning, Monday through Friday. And as Sirius has with some other components, XM Radio has entered into a number of relationships. One of theirs is with Audible.com. So a number of the programs that XM Radio produces are actually available for purchase and download through Audible. And in fact, they've recently begun on channel 163, which is their kind of drama channel, to do a program that is sponsored by Audible.com, which features interviews with authors and discussions of particular books. Last week, for instance, they had an interview with Dan Brown about the Da Vinci Code, which also combined an interview with the director of the Da Vinci Code movie. So it was kind of cool to hear those interactions back and forth. XM Radio also publishes a magazine, and I suspect Sirius does too, that you receive by email once a week, which gives you highlights of some of the exciting things that are coming up in the following week. I will talk about Nabster in a minute, though I don't know as much about it as I should. But essentially what XM Radio has done to begin with was to make music available for download that you heard and created a situation where they were among the many sources in the whole wide world that allowed you to actually download music. And that was kind of cool. But then they went one step beyond. That XM Radio has gone over the past few months is they have begun to market a combination CD player, XM Radio. And that CD player, XM Radio, actually allows you, as do several other receivers that are currently available for the XM Radio, to record either directly from XM Radio or to download music. And RIAA is very concerned about some of the technologies that XM Radio is using, and they're apparently very upset over the fact that, using XM Radio, it's now possible to actually download very specific music, essentially at no charge. And this is true because the XM Radio's for the last year and a half or so, have had built into them a capacity to record up to 5 hours of information at XM radio speeds. Now, that didn't bother RIAA very much. What really got to them, though, was that now that XM radio and the CD player or other kinds of iPod systems have been combined, it's now possible for people to take the XM radio material that they download and make that material available in other medium and from the perspective of RIAA bypass the need to pay. Their feeling is that constitutes an infringement, and we're getting back to the point point of free radio downloads and so on. XM Radio says, excuse me, folks are paying for the privilege of being able to do this by the subscription fee that they pay us, and we don't believe we're in violation of anything, so go away. Thank you very much. So that's another of the components that XM Radio does now make available. Those receivers are a little bit more expensive. The one that's receiving a lot of attention is about $400, which is the combination receiver and CD iPod player. We should probably talk a little bit before Sue gets out of here, if she remembers, about the cost of Sirius receivers, so that people can have an idea of what it would actually cost them to become involved in either of the systems. Sue had told us that she paid about $286 for 2 years, and that's roughly the same amount as one would pay for XM Radio for their monthly subscription fee. Do you remember how much you paid for your receiver and whether there were other costs associated with that, Sue?
Let's see. I think all told it was about $340, but what I bought was a lot of really heavy-duty cables because I was changing my stereo system, and so I wanted cables that would also hook my CD player and tape recorder. I think, if I remember right, the Sirius was $249, but I might be incorrect. I bought it at Radio Shack, and the problem that we ran into at my house was that we have overhanging eaves. So when I put the antenna into the windowsill, it didn't work. So what John ended up having to do was drill a hole in the wall, take a cable out through the wall, and put the antenna up on the roof. What really would have worked great was if we could have put the car antenna up on the roof, because we have a metal roof, but the connection that goes to the Sirius for the car didn't go to the Sirius in the house. So as we told people who were doing the manufacturing, it would have been better if they'd had a better connection, whatever you call it, connector that would have worked with both the car antenna and the outside antenna.
Yep, thanks. I think that as has happened with an awful lot of this kind of technology, the cost of receivers has come down tremendously. When I initially became involved with XM Radio, I bought the high quality receiver that's supposed to become a part of your stereo system, and I paid I think $299 for that. It's very nice. It comes with a remote and is rack mounted and is very cool and works very well and has some interesting components. After that, it became possible to acquire receivers for considerably less. I have actually ended up acquiring three different kinds of receivers. The first one that I described, I already have. The second is now available for almost nothing. If one looks online, there's a very, and I don't remember the website, I'll put it on our lists, but there is an XM Radio store, a specialty store in New York, which is the place that I've found has the most competitive prices for XM Radio gear of various kinds. By the way, Sue, it has connectors that enable you to connect car stuff to house stuff, and house stuff to portable stuff and so on, which is kind of convenient. And I've gotten pretty heavily involved with doing some of that cross-pollinating too. But you can now actually buy a plain receiver just to add an additional receiver to your system for as little as $22. there is a full package of a portable receiver, which is, I think, now the way that I would recommend that anybody go in terms of XM radio or, frankly, or Sirius radio, because it is the most multi-purpose. You can use it anywhere. It's battery-powered. The batteries are rechargeable, and you get between, oh, I would say 4 and 5 hours of life out of each battery. And there are some other features, which I'll talk about in a moment.
Paul, I'm just doing a Google search while you're talking about this and wondering, I did a search on XM Store, XM Radio Store New York, and one of many that I've come up with is JR Radio XM Store. Would that be the one?
I don't think so, but it's probably as good as any. So you might just give folks that one and they can start with that. But Google is a really wonderful way of getting to a variety of stores.
Well, the site for JR is very simple. It's www.jr.com. But I'll keep looking down the page and see if I see any others that specifically say that they are XM radio stores in New York.
What I wanted to say about portables and why I think they are the most appropriate solution is that typically the way that portables are sold, they are typically sold as a kit that gives you all of the equipment, or at least certainly this was true with the Pioneer AirWare receiver that I bought, with an antenna for the car, an antenna for the house, and an AC adapter, a rechargeable battery, and also a headphone, but also a cable that allows you to connect the XM radio through RCA jacks to your stereo system. So in one package, you essentially get all of the stuff that you need. There's also a cigarette lighter adapter. And in the case of the Pioneer AirWare, with rebate, it's now possible to acquire that whole system for $119, which is actually a considerable savings over what the receivers began by costing. The main advantage of the portable, then, is that you can really carry it around and connect it to a range of things. I have it set up so that in my office I've got one straightforward RCA to mini plug to connect in the office, and then another RCA to mini plug that connects directly to speakers in the bedroom, which are essentially computer speakers, which give amplified computer speakers, which give you very nice sound. And then I've taken the whole car system and bought an extra AC adapter and actually have it so that I can simply bop the portable XM radio into a cradle at work and have quiet background music at work as well. The portables are about 3 by 2 by 2 and weigh probably, even with the battery, 11 or 12 ounces, I would say. There are a number of things in both XM and Sirius that are inaccessible to folks who are blind. I don't think it's impossible for blind people to make the record feature work. I have not learned how to do it yet. It's certainly impossible to do what typically sighted people do, which is to simply look at the display of the XM radio, regardless of what model it is, and see the name of the artist and the song. But that's also true of set-top boxes on cable machines, and we'll eventually perhaps get to the place where that works. With the portables, whether you're talking about mine or the kind that Brian has, and which I hope he'd be able to talk with you about, it is possible to directly key in channels. And it's also possible to scan channels up and down until you get something you want to hear. It's also possible to move up and down one channel at a time. So there are a variety of ways of navigating the XM system. or the Sirius system that a blind person can utilize. So you probably don't have everything. You certainly don't have all the features, but you can also set up on all of the XM radio systems, and I think on all the Sirius systems, a series of favorites as well. And even if that takes a little sighted assistance to begin with, the channel lineups don't change so often that your favorites become unusable. And they're usually pretty conscious of not changing channel numbers, so they're tending to add new channels where there aren't any at the moment.
And Brian has entered the room.
What a good thing. So, Brian, we've gone through most of the things. I know that one of the factors that led you to get involved with XM Radio, Brian, was baseball. And perhaps you might tell us a little bit about baseball and then also tell us about the kinds of receivers that you bought.
Sure. First, I'll mention my two receivers. For Christmas this year, I was surprised by Kim with two different receiver systems. One is we had just had our previous home audio system crash and burn. So we had to go out and buy a new tuner, and I have a surround sound speaker system, so it had to be capable of that. And as I was doing the install of that Yamaha system, I asked what this little hole in the back was for there. It looked like an antenna hole. And my friend who was reading it to me said, XM antenna. So that's when I knew I was going to get XM for Christmas. She also purchased for me, in addition to XM on that general stereo tuner system, a Delphi MiFi, which is a small handheld, battery-operable, portable unit with about 5 hours worth of record time within it. This unit is about the size of a fat television remote control. There are a couple of things about it that I wish I could take advantage of. It has a screen that tells you what channel you're listening to, what song is on. It can help you know what you've recorded on the system. All of those tasks, I shouldn't say all of them, setting up what you're going to record and when you're going to record it, you can do by memorizing what keystrokes to do in what order to accomplish it. But none of that component talks. Most of the time when I use it, I simply press in the 1, 2, or 3-digit channel number, and it will move over to the channel that I want to listen to. Specifically, I got this, as you said, to enjoy baseball. And in fact, the Red Sox are playing right now. A couple of things about the baseball schedule is all of the games that are being played anywhere in either the American or National Leagues are broadcast here on XM in channels 176 to about 190, in that range anyway. And there is on channel 175 a general baseball chat area where they announce the schedule for the upcoming games of that day, as well as have some other programming. So I tune in there, listen to see what channel my particular game is going to be on, punch in the 3-digit number, and give it a listen. It's always the broadcast of the home team that's being broadcast. So if I'm listening to the Red Sox and the Orioles in Baltimore, I'm going to hear the Baltimore announcers. If it's the same two teams, but in Boston, I'm going to hear the Boston announcers. It allows me to have a chance to hear people, other broadcasters than my home team. It's not quite as good as I had hoped it would be. I'd hoped that I'd have the choice between either of the two broadcasting teams, but that's not how it's done. Though it is done that way, I understand, in Real One, Major League Baseball.
Thanks very much, Brian. Last year, when I first got XM Radio, about the middle of the baseball season, I was actually disappointed with the audio quality of the XM Radio baseball. It was very inconsistent. This year, I'm happy to say, the audio quality is absolutely splendid. It's essentially very close to FM radio quality for all of the baseball broadcasts, which is considerably better than game day audio makes available, and makes a big difference to me. Just before we open this up, let me also mention that some of the stuff that's available on Sirius is also available on XM, but that there are things that are exclusive. For instance, Sirius Radio cannot carry any baseball broadcasts because there is an exclusive contract with XM Radio. by the same token, XM Radio cannot carry any National Football League games because there's an exclusive contract between the NFL and Sirius. Now, XM, which is the one I can speak to, carries all of the NHL games and is carrying the NHL playoffs, does not carry many NBA games, but does carry the playoffs, carries some college football and some college basketball, but it's limited to certain of the leagues in college football. So they do the Big Ten and the Pac-10 and the ACC. And I think that Sirius has some specific contracts for some of the other college football components. So sports is where the two networks kind of divide themselves. And the last thing that I want to say before I open it up is, interestingly enough, XM Radio is now going to be doing live play-by-play of the upcoming World Cup competition in soccer. And by the way, they did all of the games in the recent World Baseball Classic. So there's some interesting sports. There's also a golf channel that broadcasts live radio broadcasts of golf. And there are two NASCAR channels, one of which does the play-by-play, and the other channel of which provides you with a connection that simply allows you to hear the driver's radios, which is kind of cool. So those are some of the kind of sports components of XM Radio. Well, let me see if Marlena or Brian have something that they'd like to add before we open it up for questions or other comments.
I just wanted to jump in and say that that it's unfortunate that XM can no longer market the XM PC, because that really is quite accessible. But the other thing I wanted to say is that the receivers that we have, as I said, we have three, and they came with, one of them came with a home kit. Actually they both came with home kits, and we wanted home and car. So what we have, even though we don't use it very much in the living room, but we have it hooked into our Bose system. And like Brian, it's surround sound and the whole deal. But we purchased, the car kit that we purchased was just slightly extra, but it contains all of the same buttons. The remotes are exactly alike. So when you look at these devices, when you first see them, they may appear to be inaccessible, but check out the remotes, because that's really what saves your bacon.
I don't know how much we talked about how well or poorly the individual systems, not so much Sirius versus XM, but one receiver versus another, does in terms of receiving the satellite signal. I have had very, very little problem with my living room system or with my portable system, though if I'm on a northern exposure up here in Boston, it's a little more questionable than when I'm on a southern exposure. Also, I did get with my Delphi MiFi both the home kit, the travel kit, and the auto kit. So I have three different kinds of antenna that I can hook up. And the antennas looked, to be honest with you, when I opened up the box originally, I thought they were little mini speakers, and it turned out that they were antennas. They don't look much like what you and I perceive as an antenna, but it functions in that way.
Paul, could Brian maybe talk about the accessibility of the MiFi? I've actually looked at that in the stores and would be interested, just if he could, in a brief comment about that.
Generally speaking, selecting stations, no problem. Setting favorites, again, no problem. Setting to record a recurring event at a particular time, if there's a show that happens every Monday at 4 o'clock, you could learn the keystrokes to accomplish that kind of thing, but one wrong keystroke and you've set it for recording something you had no intention of listening to. Playing back the recording, again, no problem there. Setting it up, no serious problem in that respect. Where you really start to run into problems is seeing or hearing what selections are available at a given time, setting it up for anything more than a begin recording for 1 hour at X time on X station. Getting more complicated than that would be very, very difficult and would require sighted assistance.
It occurs to me that there's one other thing. I would assume that Sirius is the same as XM is, but there's one other thing that we really haven't talked about. What we have suggested to folks is that XM radio receivers typically are set up so that you connect them directly to your music systems. That is not the only way that XM receivers or, I'm assuming, Sirius receivers work. They also include, in virtually all of the receivers that are being marketed now, an FM transmitter, which allows you to set up your XM radio, and if you connect no audio elements to it, it becomes an XM radio transmitter. And if you have an FM radio nearby, you can simply tune your XM radio, or I assume your Sirius radio signal, in on empty FM radio space. And in the settings, you can actually substantially increase the range of that FM transmitter as one of the settings, so that when you initially try it with your FM receiver or the FM receiver component, you may not find that it works very well. But for what this allows you to do, among other things, is to essentially get into anybody's car without having made any real connection and say, look, there's this really cool program, or let's listen to baseball, and you simply tune your FM transmitter and the car to the same frequency, and hey presto, you have XM radio working in the car, even though you actually don't have a car set up. Okay, we've chatted long and long about satellite radio, so let me open it up to see if folks either have questions for some of us, or perhaps have comments to make as users of satellite radio. So the floor is open.
Hi, Paul, and hi, Brian. Welcome. And Joe from Boston, I wanted to say a comment and then a question. I think we should get rid of the IRA or whatever they're called. They cause more problems. I am considering purchasing an XM set, but I don't want to go through all the rigmarole of three or four different things. I've heard the boom boxes are good. They have the same components. You can hook into the stereo. I want to get one system which I can either hook into my stereo and it would sound just as good, or maybe carry around with me and it's easy to operate. I don't know whether it'll work in here or not. I'm on the third floor. I have a westerly exposure. A southeast is to the window. I don't buy online. I'll have to see it at a store. What would you recommend, and will they come out and help you set it up? And that's my question. Thanks.
I don't know of any company who's going to come and help you set it up. However, if you get a portable device, I'm sure that while you are at the store, they will assist you in the process of doing the setup while you're in the store. It would have to be a higher-end store here in Massachusetts, like a Tweeter, something along those lines, that would do that for you. But the price of the actual hardware is so low that I can't imagine that any store is going to include coming to your home to set it up. It really needs to be one of those things where you take your cell phone with you, go to the store, buy the device, open the package, call in the number, they'll activate it for you, and by the time you get home, the receiving should be working for you fine.
So I can just call in the number at the store, Brian, because I don't know whether it'll work from home. If it doesn't, I mean, is there a way to test it first? And if not, I have to bring it back. That's why I asked that question.
Well, I just wanted to jump in and say, Joe, that you're going to find more places that it will work from your home than it won't. When I was doing traveling for forever and ever for 2 years, took my XM home system with me. And I think there was one place where it was touchy, but I traveled all over the United States, and I've actually even gotten reception a little bit on a cruise ship. cruising up to down to Mexico. So I wouldn't be so concerned about that. If it doesn't work in one place, you just move the antenna.
Well, my recommendation now for anybody would be a portable if you're only going to buy one system. And we really didn't talk about this, so let's talk about it. As Sue says, what you do with the Sirius is you tune to the Weather Channel, and then from there, once you've either called in or gone online and entered a code for your radio, which is, in the case of XM anyway, a six-digit code, a signal is then sent to your receiver indicating that that's an authentic code, and therefore you can then receive the other channels. So that's what Brian is talking about when he's talking about setting up. You can call XM Radio direct with an 800 number directly from the store if you want, with people's help, because you are going to have to write down somewhere the specific six-digit code that your XM radio has in order to be able to activate it, and also in order to be able to call in if there are any reception issues. But I think that the technology is now maturing, and you can buy some add-ons that work with portables that significantly improve the way that they work. You can now buy a clip-on portable antenna that you can carry with you. You can buy a set of headphones that have a built-in XM radio antenna that you can connect to your portable. And you can buy a converter that allows you to use a home antenna on the portable device. And you can also, of course, buy speakers to add to your portable as well. Would you agree with that, Brian?
Absolutely, I would agree. If I didn't already have a home system, I wouldn't have added it, bought anything to add to it to accomplish that. I just use my portable.
I agree with you, Paul. Just to jump in here, if folks are confused about boombox versus portable, think about what a boombox is. It's big and clunky and chunky. And compare that with something that you can throw into your pocket and run with headphones or a set of small speakers. I mean, in this iPodic age in which we now live, there are great, tiny, wonderfully sounding speakers available. So if I were starting all over, I too would go with the portable. It makes much more sense, and I think you get more bang for your buck.
Comment.
Go ahead, please.
This is David. This is David Gross in Pittsburgh. I have an XM to go pocket radio boombox that I started with. My question is anyone familiar with an XM repeater? I understand they offer a repeater antenna that you can install in your home. It's supposed to give you signal in areas where you previously couldn't get signal, such as your basement. Is anyone familiar with that?
I haven't actually tried them, David, but I did look at a range of repeater components, and I think you're quite right. They will allow you to do that. There are actually a couple of ways that you can go. There is also a larger XM FM transmitter that you can use within the home, as well as the repeater approach. So you can really take whichever of those two approaches you want to take. For the most part, you're looking at having to spend about $100 either way in order to be sure that you're going to get full reception. And one of the things that you may actually find works better, particularly since you have a portable, is trying to get some sighted assistance to increase the range of your FM transmitter, and then try setting up your XM radio in a spot where you've got good reception, and see if an FM radio in the basement would not then work okay with your portable.
This is Gary Wood from Lansing, Michigan. Yeah, it's been kind of interesting, this about XM radio. I don't have one, but my brother has one in a vehicle that he lives in Florida now, but he comes up here sometimes. I rode in his van with XM radio. It was quite neat.
I know, for instance, that Sirius has has Radio 1, I think, from the UK, broadcast on a six-hour delayed basis. But and so you get some British news, but not the richness of programs I think you get from the World Service, which is the BBC component that's on XM radio. Anyone else have comments or questions with regard to satellite radio?
Anisio is asking about the monthly subscription price.
I think they're both about the same. When they began, they were around $10. And when XM Radio began to expand its programming and when Sirius began to look at raising their prices, XM Radio did too. So now we're talking about $12.95 essentially. That's if you buy it for 1 year. If you buy it for 2 years, maybe $11.95, and for three or more years, about $10.95 a month that you have to pay. There are, I'm sure, for both systems, but I can categorically speak to XM, what are called family plans, so that your first receiver costs that much, and an additional receiver costs $6.95.
Paul, did I understand you to say that with the XM on the computer, you can, with our screen readers and everything, read the song titles and who's singing the songs and things like that, where you can?
Yes, Gary. It's not as simple as it ought to be, and it's certainly not as simple as XMPC. But the answer is yes. You can get to a place where you can figure out exactly what is being played and can read it with a screen reader without too much of a problem. My recollection is that online there are about 80, 85 channels available. So there's a pretty broad range of music that is available. And with the XM online, you actually are able to get channels like The Village. And to reiterate, in case people are tuning in late, XM Online is available free of charge to anyone who subscribes to XM Radio and buys a receiver. You simply go online and create a username and password, and away you go. And I should say very clearly that the XM Radio website and the XM Radio tuner is very accessible. I've had no problems utilizing any of the functions. I can also tell you that the XM Radio website, to a lesser extent, but the tuner, to a greater extent, are accessible with Macs as well.
There was a question by text here. Is there any foreign language on XM? And in fact, there are a number of stations that broadcast in French, as well as a number of Latino broadcasting stations. The French ones are pretty eclectic. That is, you know, there's everything from rock to world beat kind of things. There's also a station out of, when I say a station, a channel marketed to those from French speaking Canada as well. And then they have both CNN English and CNN Espanol. So I guess that would be foreign language too, would it not?
So the only thing I'd add to that is there also is a single baseball channel, that broadcasts typically two Hispanic games a day. And there is also a Sportiva channel, which broadcasts Spanish sports and will be broadcasting the whole of the World Cup in Spanish starting on June 6th. Maybe I could ask Brian and Marlena, and I'm not sure this is a fair question. What do you see as the future of satellite radio, or what have you seen in crystal balls that and maybe ask either of you whether you'd like to take a crack at comparing satellite radio and HD radio?
Boy, you ask very complicated questions, Paul. I'll take a stab at what I think the future of satellite radio is. I foresee that there will be, I'm guessing, that there will be more regionalization. We're now starting to see some of that regionalization, and I think that trend will grow, and that things like regional talk, regionally popular / famous show hosts will appear. I actually, this may come in part from the fact that I'm such a shopaholic, but I actually would not be at all surprised to see some form of a shopping channel, a QVC-type channel, on satellite radio. I also think that drama will continue to grow. It seems to be quite popular. And I think that there will, in the future, be an opportunity for semi-professional people to produce and provide their own programming for various genres on satellite radio.
So what would I say about that? I don't disagree at all with respect to the broadening of opportunities for regionalization of satellite radio. I absolutely believe that's I think that's probably going to be the first thing, major change we're going to see. I think another interesting thing that's going to happen, in as much as neither Sirius nor XM Radio are in the black as of yet, or even close to being in the black from a business perspective, there's going to be a strong attempt to build up the user base through programming that can't justify itself strictly based on short-term increases in the number of users of the system, things like hiring Oprah and others, for example. I think eventually, though, the major media out there, the CBSs and ABCs and CNNs and the like, are going to be looking at acquiring a developed XM or Sirius Radio as one more way they can offer their content. I think that will be unfortunate, but being the cynic I am these days, I think that there's a high probability that a major media outlet is going to purchase what is, for all intents and purposes, a pretty small media at this point.
Well, I guess I'll take a stab at the future in DVS. I think we're going to actually see the emergence of some of those components now. Just as you can specifically tag something like an XM radio receiver, I think we're actually going to see this, and in fact even now, can also tag for premium programming that allows people to get additional stuff. I think we're going to see more use of that, and I think one of the things that we ought to at least look at down the road is seeing whether, for instance, ACB Radio or ACBRI could make an agreement with XM Radio or Sirius to be able to get a premium tag, maybe half of the cost of which would go to support ACB Radio, because I think those are actually beginning to exist. It wouldn't surprise me to see this be one of the directions that radio reading services go, so that the InTouch network might actually consider becoming a premium tagged service on XM Radio or Sirius. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for being a part of our discussion of satellite radio. I think it's clear that satellite radio has a range of programming that's available that is simply not available anywhere else anymore, including drama, music without advertising, and often music without very much talking, which for some of us is worth paying a price for. I thank everyone for their participation, in particular Marlena and Brian and Sue Amater for your expertise on satellite radio. Next week on Tuesday Topics, we're going to spend some time talking about some of the pitfalls and joys involved in blind people traveling. As we get closer to the ACB convention, we thought it might be interesting to get some of the travel experiences, both amusing and hair-raising, of people who travel a good deal in the United States. And so our plan is to provide everyone with an opportunity to get some ideas on how best to make the trip that we're all planning to make from wherever you are to Jacksonville, Florida, where ACB's convention will be held this July. So join us next week when we talk about travel on Tuesday Topics on ACB Radio, the voice of the blind community.